Monday, October 3, 2022, Dakota County Board of Commissioner meeting at 3:00 p.m.
County Board of Commissioners to order. Stand for the pledge, please. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Joan, call the roll, please.
Robert Gacy.
Here.
Scott Love.
Yes.
Janet Gill.
Here.
Larry Albanicious. Troy Lonsby.
Here.
Okay, a current copy of the Open Meetings Act is posted on the west wall near the entrance of the county board meeting room and is available for review by all citizens in attendance. The first item on the agenda is public comment. The Board of Commissioners will hear about any item not on the agenda. The chair has the discretion to limit the time of comment. Anybody here for anything not on the agenda? Nope. All right. Then, item two is consent agenda, which consists of the approval of the previous meeting minutes, September 19, 2022, approval of payroll claims, September 18th. To October 1st, Scott and I went over those earlier. Approval of memorandum of understanding to facilitate transfer of audiovisual components equipment or full systems equipment to be used in the courtrooms located in the Dakota County Courthouse, and approval of clerk of district court allocation plan with Maximus for child support computation of indirect cost allocation rates. Any questions on any of those? If not.
Item C and D, were they, Kim, did you review those? Are they okay?
Very quickly.
Okay, because something relates to the court system for the.
It looks like they're switching out the technology and then transferring the ownership to the county.
Is it 5 years? I mean, it's, I think it's ours after 5 years.
Oh. Hopefully nothing goes wrong because they won't fix it either.
Right.
So they still own it for 5 years?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Five-year warranty.
Be doing everything between now and then. Okay.
Right. And which is usually the 5 years is kind of when it starts to.
Yeah. Technology so, changes.
I mean, it is what it is.
Huge upgrade. Something. Yeah.
It is what it is.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You need to flush out payroll.
We can talk briefly about payroll. We had some offices that, or office, I guess, that requested more than 3% increase for their employees. The board approved 3% at our budget meeting. So what we did was, and they're not here today, the elected official is not here today, or their deputy, to discuss the proposed increase. So just to keep the ball rolling, I guess, we approved the 3%. Next meeting, we can talk about if they want to talk about reasons, et cetera, or even before that, with any of the board members, what justifies these increases. They range anywhere from 4 to 14. So just so you're all aware of what we are doing here today, we approved the 3%, and they can then come back and we can always discuss it, I guess, but clear enough.
So moved on the consent agenda items.
And flush that out.
And flush out that the, you want me to flush out with my motion that the payroll, the adjustments from the treasurer's office, we're going to do the 3%.
And extension.
And extension office. And then we'll, like Bob just said on our next meeting, we'll be able to talk to either the appointed or elected official for each department and figure out where they're coming up with these dollar amounts on classifications or wherever they're coming up with them at. Be accountable for what they're here. Yes. That's my motion. Is that good enough?
I can second that.
Okay, motioned by Scott, seconded by Troy to approve the consent agenda with those stipulations. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Scott?
Yes.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes. Okay, item three under new business and resolutions. Derek, is it Derek and Ben?
It's Derek Montgomery, and this is Rob Latimer. Ben has
Derek
a family
and Rob.
In Florida, so he had to go home. They had been displaced by the hurricane down there.
Oh,
so
okay. These gentlemen are from Turnkey Logistics on behalf of Summit Carbon Solutions to present a project update on the CO2 pipeline. Welcome.
Mr. Chairman, I have a, you might have already had it in your packet, but there's a package of information with some maps and fact sheets already. You can just circulate them there. Derek and I's card is in that package as well. As Derek mentioned, I'm pinch hitting for Ben Fuller, one of our Nebraska-based relationship managers. My name's Robert Latimer. I live in Elkhorn, Nebraska, and I'm supporting the Turnkey Summit Carbon Solutions team as well. Derek and I are here today to just give you a very brief update on some key items in that package that you have. If you pull out on the very first page, there's a map of the county, of Dakota County. You'll see that map there. Maybe we can just speak to that. As a reminder, the Summit Carbon Solutions project is intended to take ethanol captured, or carbon dioxide captured from the ethanol plants in 5 states, total of 32 plants, including some plants in Nebraska, to take that ethanol that's captured from the processing of ethanol to make renewable fuel, take that away in a pipeline, and eventually it goes up to an area in North Dakota to be injected in a rock formation and permanently sequestered, they call that. The whole purpose of this and the value chain for the ethanol plants is if you remove the carbon dioxide from the ethanol, the renewable fuel, the fuel brings a premium price in some markets like California, Oregon, and in some parts of Canada, therefore ensuring the viability of ethanol production long-term in a kind of changing marketplace that's green, so to speak. In Dakota County, there's approximately 18.44 miles of pipeline proposed, and that's a 10-inch line and a 12-inch line. It's shown on the map there that you have of Dakota County. There's also proposed a pump station. Looks like it's just west of US 75, north of Homer. And at the pump station, the carbon dioxide is almost like in a liquid form, and it needs to be, the pressure needs to be maintained at the pump station to move the product along. There's also, between the pump station and you'll see on either side of the river as well, there's what's called isolation valves to isolate the pipeline. If there was ever any problem, they can remotely close those valves and isolate segments of the pipeline.
And those are located at maximum every 20 miles.
Yeah. The intention of Summit Carbon Solutions is to construct this project in August of 2023. Land acquisition is continuing to go forward at a pretty rapid pace. Currently in the county, there's about 57% of the mileage of that 18.88 miles or 18.44 miles. Almost 57% of that mileage is acquired in voluntary agreements with landowners. And across the state of Nebraska, it's about 41%. And that work continues every day with the land team going out and visiting with landowners, understanding what makes up their land and the route of the pipeline, compensation matters, routing matters, and so on, to bring together voluntary agreements.
Are you guys pleased with where you're at right now, meaning the 57% of being purchased, or is that good, bad, differ? I guess
I think, Derek, do you want to give some color to that?
To date, I think we're in a really good spot with that. I will tell you, we started a little bit late in Nebraska from where we started in some of the other places, and I think that's why our state average is a little bit lower. Last 2 weeks ago in Iowa, we crossed the 50% threshold. I see that coming on in Nebraska, but no, 57% from where we got started, the time that we've had, really, really happy and excited about that. I want to say this when I say that. We're not stopping at 57%. We're committed to keep going to try to get 100% voluntary easements.
These projects are significant in size, and it takes a bit of soak time with landowners and building a relationship with the land team to the landowners to build understanding, and it just takes time. So that work continues. It's hard work, and it continues as we go forward. What else can we tell you? There's some tax benefits, of course. The capital expenditure in the county with a pump station and these segments of pipe at the 10 and 12 inch diameters. The tax estimate of capital dollars is about $23.4 million of capital invested, which brings about an estimated, after first year of service, an estimated $520,000 in tax revenue that's centrally assessed in Nebraska that comes back to the various taxation districts in the county.
And one other area is to talk about is our community investment. Some it's really wanting to get out in the community, invest, whether that be with financial investments, volunteer hours. We've done some creek cleanups in Iowa. We sponsored the Nance County Fair and Carnival. We've had some sponsorships of some agricultural banquets. We've had a donation to the canine unit in Nance County. So if there's anything in your county that you think Summit could be helping out with, please let us know. You've got some numbers for our stakeholder relations person, Kaylee Langrell. We definitely want to know if there's ways that we can volunteer, invest in the community.
I saw that on your flyer earlier, and it really kind of piqued my interest. The South Sioux has a senior center that has been closed and now they're slowly reopening. They did get a donor. So for a lot of reasons, they need to upgrade kitchen. They need to do this and that and provide meals out of the senior center. There was an individual that gave them, and of course funds are always a big part of what they do. Individual gave them $20,000 to be matched, if they can match that. So, you know, I just thought maybe that might be a way for, you know, you guys to, if you could help them.
Mr. Chairman, I think those are great ideas. I would simply get an email, or Derek and I will follow up to Kaylee Langrell, and we'll get something, some communication back and forth to better understand that. Yeah,
okay.
Those are good examples.
Okay.
Yeah, if we could get some contact information, that'd be great, so we could follow up with
Sure.
So how soon you be writing checks for those type of things?
For the community investments? We're doing those right away.
Right now.
Right now, absolutely. We've just hired a director for community involvement named Sabrina Zenor, and I've just been amazed. Every time I go onto LinkedIn or Facebook, she's somewhere else doing some type of donation, volunteer opportunity. So she's on the road between the five states about 6 days a week.
Oh, don't forget this room here.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's good to know. So thank you. I'll get you that. We have their email or your contact.
Yeah.
Or should we just reach out to Kaylee?
Kaylee is good. We will prompt Kaylee on this idea as well.
Okay.
We're talking to her on a daily basis as well. Any other questions, commissioners?
I don't have any. Go ahead.
What would be the impact of electric vehicles on the mandate on some of these states that you referenced? How will that impact the overall demand, and how does this offset? I guess I'm trying to look at the demand in the big
California.
Yeah.
So in the global perspective, certainly electric vehicles are something that are here now, and that demand will continue to grow. The internal combustion engine isn't going away anytime soon. We're in a decades long transition here of switching over to things like electrical vehicles and so on. Renewable fuels in places like California and Oregon and Washington and parts of Canada, where they will continue to still drive vehicles that need gasoline, the renewable fuel part of the gasoline component, that 10 to 15%, that blend that doesn't have the carbon dioxide tied into it, that'll even become more valuable. So long answer to a very short question is, the demand is going to continue. And even though electrical vehicles, EVs, will come on stream in a bigger way, there's still going to be demand for very clean gasolines.
And I think with the electric, what you see too is you see our grid is already stretched out to the max. I'm from Houston, Texas. We had a small ice storm that went through. It basically took out the electric grid for 2 weeks in our state. And the states that we're talking about here on the West Coast, they have even more issues with getting power out there. So I do see that as a growing market, but as Rob said, I think you're decades and decades before your infrastructure from an electrical standpoint can...
The ability for the ethanol plants to pivot and eventually offer this very clean renewable fuel, and President Biden actually issued a waiver, right, emergency waiver this summer to sell E15, I believe it was, through the summer months. I mean, that's going to continue that pressure to keep gasoline as clean as possible.
So these there's about 9 facilities here that will connect to this proposed pipeline. They're all still going to be viable in your opinion.
I believe so. Why I say that is because it's the investment in this asset to collect the carbon dioxide is not a small, it's a multi-billion-dollar project. That the project proponents are looking at this at a very long run, 30, 40 years old.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Out. Are you Canadian?
American citizen. Yeah. Born in Canada.
Yes, sir. Yeah. I caught that. Out. Yeah. I was going to ask you that prior when I was talking to you.
Yeah, so I happily did the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes, sir.
An American citizen.
Yep, all right.
Yeah, born in Canada. Yes.
Well, that makes a difference, you know.
Okay.
In this article here, it makes reference to the location of the pipeline is required to be 50-foot setback from dwelling. Now, I sure hope it's more than that.
It should be more than that. I think
we've been working with your planning and zoning department. Yeah. Absolutely, it's further than the 50 feet. Yeah. All that is a standard from the code from FEMSA. Yeah, is what those are.
From the federal regulator. It says this is the minimum.
They're not very bright.
What's that?
They're not very bright.
He said you're not very bright.
No, I'm
trying to listen.
Think about it. That thing blew up 2,000 PSI. Yeah. That house wouldn't even exist. You'd think a hurricane went through. Why can't it be 1,000 feet?
Yeah.
Or better yet, a quarter mile.
I know a quarter of a mile, you would get into an issue where you'd have, but you wouldn't have an ability to construct a line if you had that far of a setback. I can tell you on one of these lines, like as far as the dissipation rates, is about 300, 330 feet to where anything would be fully, completely dissipated that had come out of the line. We've got some dispersion tests that they're doing right now that we'll be back here hopefully around the first of the year to be able to share with you. That'll kind of put some more scientific evidence around that.
And certainly, the product that's contained in the pipeline, carbon dioxide in a liquid form, when it releases to atmosphere, vapor, it kind of goes to the atmosphere. Carbon dioxide is a component in our atmosphere today, right? And it's a non-flammable product. You would not want to hit the pipe if you're pounding a post in or right. Something like that. You'd want to be doing your one call ahead of time to mark the line and so on. You wouldn't want to hit the pipe and rupture it, of course, because it there is some force or energy behind that, but carbon dioxide is a non-flammable product.
Yeah, I knew that.
Commissioners, just as a point of information, in Dakota County, you have a significant natural gas pipeline system. Northern Natural Gas has their trunk line system through the area, has for probably a legacy system, right? Mm-hmm. It's probably been there 60, 70 years in some cases.
I didn't think they ran at that type of pressure, though.
The Northern Natural Gas System is, I'm sure it's up around
in Brazil,
900 pounds. Yeah.
Propane, it likes to liquefy at a lot less pressure. Natural gas shouldn't be a whole lot different.
The Northern Natural people, when they release those lines, my business is adjacent to theirs, and it's like an airplane going off for a very, very long time. I don't know what type of pressure there is, but it has.
It's to move natural gas efficiently, you need to have it under pressures upwards of 900 pounds. You know, we're not here to talk about Northern Natural Gas's system, of course, and we're not experts on their system, but, you know, just a point of fact, right, in your county, you do have a natural gas pipeline system. We're proposing systems of one line that is significantly smaller. It's a different product, of course, carbon dioxide, but in the 10 to 12 inch range.
I guess I just was making reference to that big hole blowing in the ground down in Mississippi or Missouri or something. Like
Mississippi.
That's
yes,
a little crater like a bomb drop.
In 2020, there was a 24-inch carbon dioxide pipeline that did rupture. The area in Mississippi had between 12 and 60 inches of rain over a 60-day period, and there was a landslide that ruptured the pipe, and the carbon dioxide escaped.
And the thing to note there is that was not a pure CO2 line, which in our easements with our landowners, this is committed to be a CO2 line. It's all we can carry through there. There was hydrogen sulfate in that line, which is a very deadly, poisonous gas. And that is what made the people sick down there in Mississippi, was not the CO2 release. And there will be none of that in this line. It can't be used for enhanced oil recovery. They can't put anything in it besides CO2. Even if the line was sold 10 years from now, the easements go with it, the commitments to the landowners, the commitments to the permits, all of those are transferred. So that's all that line will be able to be used for.
Just wrapping up, the purpose of our presentation here is to keep you as elected officials informed of where we're at on this project. As we continue to put forward some progress on the project, we'll be back here in another 3-4 months and give you an update.
I appreciate everything.
Next summer, you said, is a go
August,
online?
August 2023 to start construction, yes.
Who's the contract?
They have not been selected yet. I know they're in the bidding process with them, and I'm hoping by our next update that we'll be able to have that information to share with you by the time we're here next time.
Yeah. Perfect.
Thanks.
All right, thanks, gentlemen.
Appreciate it. Safe travels back home.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Then moving on to item B is approved resolution 22C-023, releasing pledged securities. This is a bookkeeping a thing that the treasurer does from time to time. When tax collections are up, they have more pledged securities, and when they don't need them anymore, they dismiss them. So this is just we do need to approve that.
So moved on 22C-023.
I'll second that.
Moved by Scott, seconded by Janet to approve. Call roll, please, Joan.
Janet?
Yes.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, item 4 is Jolene Goebbels, Highway Superintendent, biweekly road report. Jolene?
Good afternoon. Hi. We had 23.5 hours maintaining, 4 hours overtime, 20 hours tree removal, 81.5 hours doing the bridge approaches, getting the 265th Street Bridge south of Homer open, 28 hours on Perry Culvert, 9 hours filling in the trenches, I guess you could say, along North Bluff Road, filling in the shoulders, 10.5 hours picking up garbage, 50 hours hauling gravel, of 1.5-inch crushed concrete and 15 tons of South Dakota road gravel. We had 5 hours on sign repair, and we had 2 requests for grading, one on 200th Street and one on S7.
All right, any good questions for Jolene from the board?
Real quick, Barclay Asphalt is supposed to start in Attica on their overlay projects this week. Knife River They're in South Dakota finishing up a project, and within the next 2 weeks hope to be in Dakota County. Frank's Asphalt also, they had a breakdown and are having trouble getting help, but they thought they would be here in the next week or two to get their project done in Dakota County. So all those overlay projects we did earlier this summer should be getting a start here shortly.
Okay.
The bridge looks beautiful. It's down.
I haven't been down there yet. Turned out. I've been to drive down there, but yeah.
The what, Troy?
The bridge.
The bridge.
They just finished up. That really turned out.
And
really,
they started
really nice.
On that one on T Avenue, too, so fingers crossed.
And two new hires today.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
Good day.
Okay, thank
nice.
You.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Okay, item B is board action regarding delinquent parcels and parcels eligible for foreclosure through the county attorney's office in accordance with 77-1918 and 77-1901. So we have the list here of the parcels involved. What we don't have is, and I know Don's not here and Steph is not here today because of had to take her husband to the doctor, but what we don't have here that we need to know, and in my opinion, is the time when these certificates, if they're issued, when they're issued, what the date is on the certificates. Because they need a 3-year.
Here's a copy of the certificates. I thought she told us last time they were all over 3 years.
Is that what you remember?
I mean,
I don't remember hearing that number, but
I tried to confirm that with her. I wrote there's been there was.
Because the board, the and then it gets into, well, if Kim, if she doesn't have time, the board can also have another attorney do it. So I'm not sure, Joan.
So these tax certificates all have the same tax sale date. Do you have that from last time, too? Did you bring your last?
Don sent out.
Right. That from the last time. There's a tax sale date of November of 2019.
Okay. So we're
it's not quite
so
3 years yet?
Not now.
Unless
not,
they had to be
yes.
3 years.
It's the date of the sale. But then you also have 9 months after that to do the foreclosure part. So it has to be the 3 years in order to start that
so
process.
So in 2019?
So in 2022, in November of 2022, it'll be 3 years.
Okay.
And then the other part, the Kim or the attorney part kicks in.
These have been done since.
So if they're all the same, if they're all night,
really?
or if they're all November 2022, I don't think we're there yet to the foreclosure date.
November 19th.
And if they're all 19, I don't
know. November 11-12.
Yeah, so that would have been when we did the county certificates on the sale. The sale is actually in March.
Some of them are older. 14,
the town
17.
And country one since
yeah,
2017.
Yeah.
And then there's another town and country that's for 2022.
A couple of them are past 3 years.
Yeah, and I don't know, it's not even. The big one on the top is always been a discussion that. Point on there, it really and maybe it doesn't have any bearing on what we do as the board, but so the first year's taxes came up for the tax sale and investor paid those, and then they have to pay the subsequent taxes for two more years, and then they can foreclose. But as everybody knows, Ciovas, there's all sorts of litigation, and they're not there anymore. Anyway, so on Ciovas, the second year, or the subsequent taxes that were due, this investor never picked it up. So it's a mess. That particular one's a mess, and it's $1 million. And I don't know where we would be in line as far as, because you know there's lawsuits with the city of Sioux City for wastewater.
The list goes on and on.
On and on. But
so okay, so are we taking action on anything on that today then, or not?
Can, they're not over 3 years old.
Right.
I don't think we can.
Right.
So let's.
Move on, I guess.
The foreclosure ones are over, but they already have a tax certificate issued, so you don't have to do that. And yeah, wow. Okay. Why she brought him.
Well, I.
Okay.
So let's just move on. We won't take any action on that.
So I put it back November.
October 17th?
November 28th.
Yeah, we have
agenda or something like
past
that.
The day, yeah.
After
yeah.
the 3 years is up, maybe. Okay.
Okay. Yep. Okay. We'll do that. We'll bring that back after that 3-year date is here or gone. So let's move on then to item C is discussion regarding the time of day for board meetings and public being able to attend. Troy, you want to comment on this one?
I asked Joan to put that on there. I went to the meeting in at the library at the school in South Sioux. That was last Monday, I believe, and I sat by some people there, and there's a lot of people that I think would really like to attend some of our meetings and attend some meetings, but they are working. They can't get off before 5, I can understand the point because, you know, it'd be pretty tough. So I was wondering if the board at some point, and maybe we'll wait till we get the new board, whatever, I was thinking maybe not every meeting, but maybe once in a while we should have a meeting after 5 so people can attend. Just my thought.
I would agree. I've said that since I've been involved with this, because working people really struggle to get here. I've tried to come when I was working, but it was like I'd come and it would be the Board of Equalization, then I'd be here for over an hour and I had to go back to work because I had a meeting or whatever. So it's really hard for many people to get here for me.
I think the easy solution is to televise the meetings. Easily doable. I don't have the technology to do it, but it wouldn't take much. If anybody wants to take that task on, there's YouTube. Everybody does a lot of meetings. I mean, we don't have to go to the extreme of South Sioux City's, cable TV televised thing. But, they show my granddaughter's soccer games live on something. So it is doable. I don't have the, so if anybody wants to take that task on, then they can watch it either live or whenever they want to.
What about public being heard, though?
Yeah.
The public being heard, I think that's... If you come to want to comment on something and you don't even get a chance to comment on it because it's too far down.
No, I get it. Yeah, that's two separate things. I get what you're saying, though.
But I guess I'm thinking with the board time, that goes hand in hand with the people being able to be here to comment on, public comment or talk about things we're talking about to their taxpayers, and we want them to be involved. And I think a lot of people would get more involved if we had it at the right time where they could go.
Well, the problem is you'll never fit everybody's schedule, regardless of whatever time you put down.
Right.
I mean, those two guys that were here from the
summit.
Yeah, summit people. They
they said they, you know, all these board meetings they go to, they're all mornings.
Mornings.
So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I guess I look at it as, I've always looked at it as, if somebody wants to be here or needs to be here, they're going to be here. So that's the way that I look at it. But
Mike, did you want to enlighten us?
Sure. Mike Carnes, 109 West 4th Street, Wayne, Nebraska, managing editor of the Dakota County Star. Some suggestions that I might want to throw at you guys. And the hard part for a public board meeting is finding a time to meet where it fits your schedule, it fits as many schedules as possible. And like Scott said, it's impossible to fit everybody's schedule. When I saw this on the agenda, my first thought was, oh man, if they go to night meetings, how am I gonna juggle this? Because I have things, you know, that go on at night too, like ball games mostly. But you know, there's stuff that I have to try to cover with my job as well. You'd mentioned the South Sioux City setup there. It's a pretty elaborate setup, I think, as far as government meetings go. But the nice thing about it is that you can watch it live. And there are some nights where I'm at a, like for example, a couple weeks ago I had a cross country meet in Wayne that I had to cover, and a city council meeting. Unfortunately, the cross country meeting got over about 4:30, which gave me just enough time to get what I needed at the cross country meet, hustle home and get in front of my computer in time to watch the meeting live on their website. So that is a possibility. It's probably with cameras and the equipment that's required to do some of that. It's probably going to cost you a little bit of money, but it's something that, you know, you'll have for a long time. One of the things that the Wayne City Council did during COVID was they held their meetings live on I think what the name of the website is now. There was a live website that a lot of businesses use for meetings that they were able to incorporate into their city council meetings, and that allowed people to not only watch the meeting from wherever they were, but to also have the opportunity to comment on things that were being talked about in the course of the meeting. So that's something for you guys to think. And I wish you could remember what the name of the website was that they used.
Is it Zoom?
Huh?
Is it Zoom?
That sounds right.
Zoom meeting?
Yeah, I think it was Zoom. And Zoom's a great source for. I have actually been involved in some discussions that were on Zoom, and it's a great source for live events that would be something like this.
Yeah, the Zoom might be the easy answer. I mean, everybody.
It's cheap.
South Sioux has their own setup that goes through their cable system, and they have like two or three cameras. Like they have a camera hooked up. That would be hooked up here. That would point toward you guys, and they can move it around. So they might show it on you one minute, they might show it on Scott the next. And then they have two cameras up on the other side where Bob would be. That would be pointing back this way, and they can focus on you know, that side of the room or out here. So, but it's a pretty elaborate setup. They have somebody running it off to the side that runs it. The only complaint about it I have about it is that if I can't make it to the meeting, I can't watch it live. My only hope is that they get it up on their website in time for me to be able to sit through and watch it and take notes and write a story on it for that week's paper. And sometimes they get it up before 5 o'clock on Tuesday, and sometimes they don't. So I have to call Lance and say, hey, can you tell the video guy to get that up there so I can watch the meeting. Then they do it, but generally I think it's whenever they get around to it. There's no legal requirement for them to publish that on the website at a certain, you know, within a certain time. I don't believe I've never seen anything in the legislature regarding that.
Well, a lot of times on the news, the 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock news, you'll get clips from it. They'll be, you know, they take pictures of councilmen, you know, Sioux City in particular, you know, they only got the mail on there.
Yeah. Yeah, they'll do like a quick clip of it and send that back to the studio, and then they incorporate that into their 6 o'clock news teases and stuff like that, and then they have the full video to work with by the time they get back for 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I think it is doable. I think Zoom is a good thing. I mean, and people could, you know, there's just a web or something that you could log into and watch that. So
yeah,
I've had people tell me that here, this is recorded, but that it never winds up. They never hear about it until a month later because it never gets into the system or whatever.
Well, eventually,
it does. I do it every 2 weeks.
Oh, maybe that's what it was. Every 2 weeks, wasn't it?
I mean, I put the recording on.
They're always the audio is always there.
2 weeks later.
At some point, it's always there.
Yeah, they didn't say it wasn't, but it was old news by the time they got it. I guess what the story was.
Oh, after the fact.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, Mike.
Yeah. Thank you.
Kevin, did you have anything?
Yeah, if that's all right.
Sure.
I fully agree. There needs to be something done, at least, you know, a meeting here or there. I know we looked at it once before, Janet, you know, when you first got on and changed it to one, and, you know, how that worked. But I know the after-hours opening was always a concern about, you know, having the courthouse unlocked with all the other offices, and there's really no security. You know, I remember that was a big concern, and I don't know if we ever addressed it. I mean, I think it's a good idea. I think we just need to address some of the surrounding concerns with it. You know, and you guys can Facebook Live. You can do that. You know, if, you know, throw another job on Joan. She could monitor the comments and respond to them. I'm sure she'd enjoy that.
Have the comments flying up on the screen.
Yeah, I think there is a way, yeah. Kevin. We just need to get somebody that's techie and gonna put that together for us.
What time did we?
Kevin, there really isn't anything in the safe, so we wouldn't have to worry about that.
He was just leaving.
He was
just
no one. Was it four when Bill McCarty?
And then we changed it to three.
Well, anyway.
It sounds like there's some options, though, and the next board can maybe tackle it.
Yeah.
I like the idea of a non-TV deal. You just sit at home watching, never even come to the damn meeting.
Yeah. Or if you're only interested in one topic, you could chime in when it's the topic that
you're... The county commissioners couldn't sit at home and watch the game. They got to eat it.
I agree. I'm going to pick up my grandkids.
I think it'd be something to look into anyway.
Okay.
Good idea.
Well, we'll talk about it next, if not before then, next January at the reorganization meeting and discuss it then. So, okay. Then moving on then to item D, discussion regarding a memorial designation for Jackie Hartnett on North Bluff Road. This was that idea that Ron Hartnett was here that day and mentioned, you know, about Jackie having been on the board for, I think, 20 years. Joan gave me the date.
2286 to 2008.
Is that right? Okay. Thank you. So anyway, and was very involved in that North Bluff Road, and Ron suggested a memorial, or I think the actual talking about renaming the highway, but that's not gonna, that's a whole different thing. So I talked to Dan Sayer with the state, and something we can do is the current street markers, the little green ones that go this way and this way, we can add a to that. So we're not changing the road. We're just, you know, we could put that on that. And Dan with the Department of Roads sounds like that he would approve that. No, Jolene, you're shaking your head.
He doesn't do the street ID signs for North Bluff Road. The county does.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay,
hang on. He does the stop signs.
Right.
We have the street ID signs.
So can we do that then?
You can do that, or you can even put up your own, like, some places you see have, like, a bigger sign set up, you know.
I thought that's what we were going to do, is put a sign on each end.
Right.
Maybe like a, right. Not necessarily hooked to the signage of the road. It's just a sign, you know, whatever, how far apart, a blue sign. You know, with some kind of a memorial check.
And that's easily doable, Jolene.
I talked to the state of Nebraska. They don't have any, I talked to LeMoyne, actually. the state doesn't have any rules on that.
Okay.
Do that. Just as if we would change the whole name of the road, then that's when the state right. would have to get involved. But then everybody would have to change their addresses, and we don't want to do that.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's just, I guess, I'm bringing it to the board.
Yep. I just put a couple signs, one on each end, and that's, I think, if that's what the board wants to do. You know, but that's I wouldn't tie nothing to this to the name of the road or the signage. Me
no,
personally, would
no,
not
do
that.
That's I don't think that's what we want to do either. So we can do that if we come up with a some kind of a sign. And Jolene, I understand you guys could make those or the road.
Oh yeah, we could order them through our sign company.
Okay.
We just need to know what size you guys think you would want. And
okay.
You'd want to put them on the same post, right?
That's what we just said. So not to
probably
do.
Like a two-post sign is what I'm imagining. What I've seen on
yep.
I've seen those.
Oh, okay.
You got like probably about this big on two posts, and then one on each end of the road. And
right. Okay, so we'll if it's okay at the board. I mean, this is just discussion, but is that okay with the board that we do that?
So it was So it was in 2020. This is 2022. When was it built? In 20. In the middle of her term, I think.
2002.
Okay. 2002. Okay. So yeah, it's kind of in the.
So anyway, if there's no.
You want me to come up with the size and cost, or just
you need the verbiage to do that? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, we'll get with you, Jolene, or I'll get a.
Do we need to take action today?
I don't think so, Scott.
Just go with it.
This was just discussion. I think we can do it, and if the board's okay with it, we'll do it. All right. Okay. Then, moving right along to E, ARPA funding projects for approval. The first one is that.
Kim would has a point. Thank you. Got to take some sort of action. So, show an order directing for Cody Lee. This is like after the first meeting where the treasurer gave the report. That the board got it.
Order directing the foreclosure of lien or enter to see that we enter, she's due if she did the tax certificates or enter an order for the county treasurer to issue tax certificates.
Did she do that last time?
That we did that last time, right?
Because it doesn't look like
no.
There was
you
took no action after the delinquent report. You took no action after the foreclosure report.
Okay.
Which you didn't have to. The statute says you shall do it at the next meeting.
Okay.
And that's what Kim's.
Okay. Well, that's why Kim's over here.
Because it looks like nothing last.
Well, see, I thought we did that action.
No.
But if we didn't, then
there was no action.
Okay, then I apologize. We are going to, before we go to ARPA, we're going to back up and we're going to tackle the item 4B again for board action regarding delinquent parcels and parcels eligible for foreclosure through the county attorney's office in accordance with 77-1918 and 77-1901. I apologize, I thought we directed them to issue the tax certificates, and we haven't. So the direction here is to either enter an order directing the foreclosure or enter the order for the county treasurer to issue tax sale certificates on those parcels.
Which direction are we advised?
So, the way I read this on the delinquent one. So the delinquent parcels that are how many was that?
There's only
11. No, that's the foreclosure ones. The delinquent are 7. Okay. 7. That the ones that never had a certificate, you can order to have certificates. So none of these have certificates.
I don't see a certificate number on any of
Okay, so do we need to make some kind of a...
So I think the delinquent ones, but and then the foreclosure ones, because it's not 3 years mm-hmm. on the tax certificate sale, that we have to wait till that November.
Bless you. Where's that?
Shall as to...
That's the way.
At its first meeting held after the making of such certificate, of such report, to carefully examine the same, and while it may direct the issuance of tax sale certificates to the county upon any that are delinquent, it shall, as to all real property upon which taxes are delinquent more than three. So there's your shall, and we don't know if they're more than three.
Right.
So maybe they should not take action on that, and then they have the option to tell her to issue, and I think you probably want to issue tax sale certificates.
I think we have to.
So, yes.
I think we have to.
It's just yep. that
to the county. Yeah.
And then either enter an order directing the foreclosure of the lien of such taxes. And we're not sure if they have, well, we think they haven't. It was November of 19, so they haven't.
I don't think so.
Or were they delinquent in March of 19?
Are these all, they all look delinquent.
They were delinquent then, but once you put a certificate on, usually that starts a three-year clock. And it has to be 3 years before they can foreclose an investor.
And it starts with not the... It starts with the November
right.
19.
Right.
Okay. So maybe a separate motion on that to take it to bring it back on the November 28th meeting on the foreclosure side, and then tax certificate issue tax certificates on
the ones that
don't. The seven yeah. delinquent.
Right.
Okay.
Get that?
We need a motion. A motion yes. is fine. We don't have to say. Issue them right now. Wait till November.
I think the ones that don't have any need.
There was a couple of them that were over. Does that matter?
Not if a tax certificate. A certificate wasn't issued.
Okay. And you're looking at the foreclosure list. You're not looking at
the
delinquent
list. Oh, this is I got from last time, the last meeting.
Right, and that was the foreclosure,
that was the
right? There was a delinquent
right.
list, too.
So I think what we need
and
is...
And we had nothing on that, but on the delinquent
list... Okay, there
list,
we go. I see it.
Right. These,
yeah.
right. Well, yeah. I just copied her so you could kind of see it all in one document. But this is what she brought. And it was parcel number and legal description and the dollar amount. No...
No certificate.
Yeah, there would... I think if there was a certificate on it, they'd have a number
It would have been on the other list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. So we need a motion to direct her to issue certificates on delinquent parcels.
Okay, I'm going to so move on your motion.
Oh, and part B of that is to...
Because I'm confused right now. I'm
okay,
not going
to
lie. I mean, I'm trying to take it all in.
I know.
I'm trying to take it all in, but it's... Yeah,
and also
date.
Bring back the...
Do we want two motions or four?
Two.
Okay, so that's the first one.
Direct treasurer
to issue certificates
sales.
On delinquent parcels.
I'll second Scott's motion.
Second certificates okay. on delinquent.
Okay. I kind of stole your motion, but whatever.
So we got
the
motion out there.
Yeah, right. I didn't know how to word it.
And that's the seven parcels.
Right.
And the other one's 11?
11
parcels?
So. Yes.
So this is, we'll call the roll on this first motion.
Larry?
Yes.
Troy?
Yes.
Robert?
Yes.
Scott?
I think so.
Janet?
Yes.
It gets a little dicey with certificates and things like that. But so then the next motion is then to bring back the
place on the agenda.
Place on the agenda November 28th for the
foreclosure
parcels.
11.
Okay.
11 of them.
Yep.
Okay. If you're making a motion, I'll second that.
Okay.
I won't steal it from you.
That is the motion and yes, seconded. Sir.
Troy.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Larry.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry for the confusion there. Kim, a nice catch there. All right. Item E, then, back to ARPA funding projects for approval. The first one is vendor approval of vendor for courthouse duct cleaning project. Last meeting, we got one from SWIX and asked them to bring back more to be more specific with their...
And obviously nothing changed. Kevin got a hold of him. Right? They're SWIX.
He's right.
Oh, I see that there. Yeah.
He gave a more detailed... But you're talking dollar amount change?
Yeah, everything stayed. Well, he had to be a little bit... He was kind of like, wasn't he like 8,700 to something, something?
Yeah, and then went from 11.5 to 14.3.
It was 93.
There was no tax.
That last page, Scott. It was 93.
Okay.
93 to 11,350. And now.
But now it's 11,350.
Less than.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't know if anybody has any questions on it, but I think we looked at these last time in the quotes, and we have the three, and obviously SWIC. Duct cleaning is at 11,350, with obviously more of bold estimate. And
no, it went up. Do you know that?
Do they kind of have a range? Is that what they did for the range?
On that page?
The range went up.
Oh!
That second page there, open that up.
Actually, the subtotal, because that total has tax.
Yeah, he has tax on that, yeah.
So, so 14,300, I guess, is the max. I don't know what you want to say.
So it went up 3,000, though, just from asking for more specific items. Which,
to me, when everything's out there, and you know what everybody else is, that's like saying, I'm still cheaper, but I'm going to make an extra $3,000. Wrong or right?
You're right. They need to do it for their own, for the 9,300 to 11,350.
Yeah, otherwise we're not talking apples to apples.
No, you're not. No.
I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that's like throwing a bit out there and saying, guess what?
I got to wait it anyway.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah. So
what do we want to do with that one?
You know, listen, what I would do is the 11,350 was his top. It was his,
before?
Yeah, if he wants to do it for the 11,350, let him do it. So he wants to do it for that.
Okay. We'll run that by them. Motion by
yep.
Scott, seconded by Larry, to approve at the original maximum price of $11,350.
Yeah, he has to understand that too. That's just
Call the roll, please, Joan.
Robert.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Janet.
Yes.
Larry.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Okay. The second item is the blacktop for the around the fire hall.
Is that on the south side they're talking? Is that what they're doing? The south side, like the alleyway?
Yeah,
the L-shaped yard with that back other alleyway that goes north and south.
That's what I understand.
So we have 6,500 square feet there, and so this one's only 51.
I noticed that too, and there's also some concrete removal on Barclay. Pretty hallway, just in pavement and soils.
Yeah, and
compact basin, approximately. You know.
And Frank's is a grade existing rock and dirt area.
Dirt area, yeah.
Doesn't say anything about concrete.
No. I don't know if they're going to re-mass them over. Concrete there that it's not real clear.
We just got the two, right?
Yeah.
Mark Lee and Frank's.
I wish somebody had written it up, you know, so it's apples to apples, you know, really.
Well, we can ask them.
Even the square yardage isn't even a square foot.
They got 51 to 65.
Yeah, well, I don't think we're going to get anywhere with this, so we're going to have to ask them for more, right?
Can you figure out what the price per square foot is?
Well, it figures out Barclay's still higher. But are they doing the same amount of work? My question is, they got to ask for removal of Barclay, doesn't it?
One is 6,500 square feet and the other is 5,100. Yeah. So it's not even.
If you break it down, though, it don't get up to. Even if that cost difference, it don't figure out square foot.
I don't know.
We're going to about 20. I did it, but I forget what it was.
Well, we need a. I guess we need a.
Here we are with open buildings. Oh.
What? We need a.
Because you're going to haul some stuff away on that one, other too. She can't tell what that is.
At least have to check her square footage.
Drive it safely. Yeah. Somebody's going to. I mean, I don't know if they went out and marked it out, you know, to what had to be removed or replaced.
Right.
I don't know that. And I don't know. I guess I don't know for sure what they're doing. I just hope that they don't get it too high and run water back into the building. It's all opposed to. Doing that now, like it is.
Well,
okay, well, we'll get some more nuggets, right? Yes,
329 for one and
390 for the other, but did you guys take the initiative in the buildings and grounds to get these numbers?
No. Well, we left that up to our engineer. Right.
Who's the engineer?
Kevin.
Oh.
Kim. Can we talk to Frank?
Get some more detail from them?
Pardon?
Get some more detail from
them?
Yeah,
we just need more detail from Frank's.
Do you need more from Barclay?
Well, somebody's got to, they got to be apples to apples. I mean, yeah. It's just about like what we just went through with the duct cleaning. I mean, it's not.
Well, I wonder if Kevin, if there is a lot of existing concrete there. Looks like one's gonna
butt up to it,
and the other one's gonna
tear it out and do the whole thing.
And if they do that, going out, it looks to me like that's so bad it needs to be removed. This way.
Troy, are you and I?
What's the plan for each of them? They're doing
figure that
things.
Out.
We'll just get together and call them, talk to them if we can.
Okay, so
okay, that's all we.
Can we make a motion for the buildings and grounds to contact these people and make a decision?
The building and grounds committee.
Yeah, committee. Can we do that? Can I do that?
It's got to come back, I think, for a board approval for the ARPA
next meeting.
Yeah, it'll have to be back anyway.
I guess.
Trying to. Then I'll make the motion that Troy and I look at or get with these two bidders and bring it back to the October 17th meeting. Is there a second?
Well, I'll second it, I guess. I didn't know if they needed a motion to do something like that or not, but obviously we do, so it makes sense to me to make a motion for you guys to talk to them and bring it back, but that's fine. Am I overseeing something or overthinking something or not?
I
guess I don't understand how there'd be that much of a discrepancy in the square footage. I don't. If they were.
Well, yeah, something's not.
You know, if you tell this guy this 6,500 and tell that guy 6,500, it should be 6,500.
That's a little bit of square footage too.
Yeah, I know.
To figure out who's doing what.
That's what you've got here.
Okay, motion time.
Come back. Not approve it and just come back with them later.
So we don't need that motion then. We'll just come back.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay? All right.
Motion withdrawn.
Yes.
Or do it.
Okay. No. Okay. Then the last item on there for that is approve to replace carpet with tile on the second floor hallway area, which is being done in front of from the hallway from county court to district court.
They're getting rid of the carpet and putting tile down.
Yeah.
Nice. When I seen that replace carpet, I'm like, and then I've seen this, I was like, yeah, you don't want to put carpet back down.
No.
With tile.
No, so the whole floor, the whole upstairs is all one tile.
Like the same.
Just like downstairs is all one tile. So.
Yeah, so it does look kind of weird, doesn't it?
Is it going to match eventually?
Oh, is that going to match?
What?
The existing?
It's much lighter than the current.
It's just a light. It's just a light.
It's a lighting.
I hope it's a light.
Or put some design in there to make it look right, you know?
Yeah.
Like a border or something.
Or maybe it's not done, so I don't know. Maybe there's like a coating over the top that makes it darker.
It's light. Light.
And the one in front of County Court is like this and light and dark.
In front of your office is different?
Yeah.
The halves are different?
County Court. Oh, no. Like when you walk down
hall. Oh, down. Oh, yeah.
When you go through
Okay, so we got
the one bid
from Curry then, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But maybe
47 or 4577.
It's just an ARPA project that needs to be approved. Because it's an ARPA project, it has to have approval.
Okay.
For funding.
So, is there a motion to approve?
There is, and I'll make the motion to approve it through the ARPA funding, right?
All right.
Okay.
To replace
motion by Scott, seconded by Larry.
Matching some design
to approve the ARPA project. Call the roll, please, Joan.
Scott.
Yes, ma'am.
Janet.
I assume somebody looked at this Armstrong and it's going to look okay. Okay, that's the main thing. Last
time I heard design, I was in an Asian.
Yep. Yes.
Club.
Larry.
Yes.
Troy.
Yes.
Robert.
Yes. Okay, we have a jail trip coming up, but we'll go to, or let me rephrase that, quarterly visit to the jail. How's that?
That sounds better.
How's that?
Okay. Back to jail. Huh?
Yeah, got to report in. Item 5 is Commissioner Committee Report.
I have nothing, Bob.
Scott, no. Janet.
The household hazardous waste is this Friday in Jackson. I've mentioned that at the last meeting, but this coming Friday.
Okay.
What is it, Friday? I'm sorry.
The household hazardous waste collection.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
What time?
3 to 6.
3 to 6.
In the ballpark. So.
Okay, 3 to 6. Yeah. Friday.
Nice.
Okay. Anything else, Janet?
No, I didn't. I was trying to get more information on how many postcards they got on that broadband. I didn't get the total number.
Another 7 or 8. Yep, last week.
Okay, because some people were supposed to turn their postcards if they didn't have coverage, and some people were going to go on and do it. And I know that they're putting a poll up over in Emerson, so I don't know if that relates to that at all or not. But that's cool.
Okay, Larry.
Yeah, the only thing I would have would be in reference to the Moody Road and the entrance to the cemetery. The engineers. Done with the plan specifications and the bid documents, and we should, I guess, be moving forward with it if we're going to get anything done out there this winter. You know? And Tim Lambrecht claims that the road, the driveway that goes in the cemetery, was dedicated to the county a long, long time ago. Did you understand it that way, Joan? And which puts the culvert, well, he said where the culvert is today. Where the road is today, the culvert was actually on top of it. I don't see that it matters anyway, being that it was given to the county a long time ago, and the county maintains it, but they don't maintain it. The county, Ronnie Gill, he cleans the snow out there and stuff. And then as far as ARPA money, there was some question about, brought up to me about ARPA money, but down in Winnebago, they spent $1 million in the cemetery, doing all the roads in the cemetery. Obviously, even if we do a little bit of work on the entrance, it shouldn't be an issue.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see. You know. And I went down there to Winnebago to see it, and it's an expensive project. I mean, of course, $1 million would be.
Right.
Changing the entrance off the highway, because you can't, when you come from Macy, you can't make the corner to get in there hardly, you know, so they're moving the entrance and making it big and wide and deeper so that you can get in from both directions. Matter of fact, I missed the turn, and I had a hard time getting from turn to get in there.
Lance Morgan, he's good, though.
Huh?
He's good.
Who?
Lance. get stuff like that done.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess he might have had some part in it, you know.
I would think, but.
So that's where it's at.
Okay, anything else, Larry?
No, that's it.
All right, Troy?
I had a North Star Region 4 meeting. Just talked about the financials, new building in West Point. The Catholic school wants their old building, and they said they would build us a brand new building and just trade straight across. So that's kind of moving forward, I guess. Gonna get a building.
Sounds too easy.
Yeah, I don't know.
It sounds way too easy.
We're gonna see what it costs to get a project manager or project guy just to kind of make sure we get what we want and see where it goes from there. Huh.
How's the bathroom down at Homer going in the shop?
That I need to stop and talk to Alvin, and I'll try to do that tomorrow.
Oh, well, I mean, there's no rush as far as I'm concerned. I don't plan on using it anyway.
That's
we never know.
We never know.
There's no progress yet, but
never know.
Talk to Alvin.
Anything else, Troy?
That's all I got.
Okay. Just a couple of items. As Troy mentioned before, the postcard meeting was Monday night. Joan did a wonderful job of keeping the train on the tracks and
trying to keep people
informed. Mike, I read your article in the Star also about they were notified that there was going to be a meeting like that. So I think, I told a couple people there that I think the postcard did its job and it got people fired up or a little more involved. We'll see, but
I think the postcard would have been okay if the information on it had been accurate.
Right.
That's on the state.
Yeah, the funny thing is I was down here Saturday and I was over here in front of the jail, and a guy came up to the jail, Hispanic guy, and he's got two pink postcards. And he goes into the jail, into the door there, and of course there's nobody there. I mean, there's somebody at the window there. But he comes back outside, he's got his postcard, and they're like, what do I do? And so I tried to tell him, and he said, well, I don't understand English very well. So I think he wanted to pay him. I'm like, no, you don't have to worry about that. So anyway, for next year, for the new clerk, we'll do a.
I hope they don't get back on the postcard.
Right.
There's no postcard.
Right. Anyway, it was a learning experience. M Avenue, I don't know, everybody probably got the email about we sent that out to LeMoyne asking him to meet or come to our meeting or we can go to his.
What is the status of it at this time? Is the speed level wise?
It's still as it's always been. There's no change. There's no change.
They can't change it with the gadgets unless the cupboard.
Right. We reached out to him, and because he's the one that can help us reclassify the road that would lead to a big cost.
He just basically said, get your ducks in a row and come to a meeting.
Yeah.
And I found some old minutes where other counties came and requested reclassification. If anybody wants to look at those.
Okay. Were they successful?
Yeah, were they successful? I don't know. I didn't read it. He was pretty abrupt in his email back, I thought.
He was.
Yeah, very.
You just like, you don't prove them. They're like
yeah.
The railroad.
Yeah. They were both approved, now that I think about it. And one of them was like a project with the state, though, or something.
Oh, they were collaborating on it?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
See, when they widened Highway 20 out there, we had an entrance on the north side of the highway. Two of them, actually. One on the east, west and east. And then one on the other. But when they widened the highway, they let us have one. They took out the out. And that one, the good one they took out, it was high and dry there. But the other one we had to go through was a mud hole there. Always in that corner of the field. Low. See? But you don't argue with them guys. And then they sent that one woman around to for easements and stuff, and boy, was she a wicked witch. I'm serious. She wasn't. And actually, I got out. I denied her. I wouldn't accept it. And the offer, so then I wound up dealing with this guy, and he just stop them. You know, and it wasn't, but she's wanting to get my ground for nothing. Nearly nothing, not even market value. And I told him, jeepers, crime is ground just south of me, about a mile and a half in a dirt road. That stuff brought shit 40% more than she's off of me. He said, I understand. He's agreed with me.
Joan, anything? Oh, we did have also, if you want to mention that.
Mobier?
Yes. Thank you. Or anything else, Joan?
I don't have any other correspondence.
No. Okay. Lynn Bieber, is that?
Mobier.
Oh, yeah.
On the pipeline.
She's been here to a couple of meetings, too, right?
She has. That's what I was thinking. And I think you've heard.
Yep. I read her letter as well as, but I was thinking that was the same person.
Okay, so with that, then, I think we are moving to the jail for those that.
Going back to jail. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Work release?
Yeah, work release.
My dad told me when I was in the year, you're getting on the jail, you're one phone call.
Let him off the board meeting.